And beginning with verse 21 this morning, we see two people sharply contrasted and yet great similarities. One came requesting the touch of Jesus. The other came touching Jesus. When Jesus was passed over again by ship to the other side, many people gathered unto him, and he was near unto the sea. Behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and he saw him and fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay your hand on her, that she might be healed, and she shall live." And Jesus went with him, and many people followed and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was not any better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Lord, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what it was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble you the master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, but only believe." And he allowed no men to follow him except for Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and he saw the tumult and those that were weeping and wailing greatly. And when he was come in, he said to them, "Why make you all of this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he took the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and he entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and he said unto her, "Talitha kumi," which is being interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And immediately the damsel arose and walked, for she was about 12 years old. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them strictly that no man should know it. And he commanded that something should be given to her to eat. Two people who sought the Lord. The one, the father of the little girl who sought that Jesus would just touch her. The other who made her way through the crowd to touch Jesus. The fame of Jesus was spreading more and more. He could not go without being thronged by people. Back in the third chapter of Mark, we read that he had healed so many people that they were bringing to Jesus all kinds of people with plagues and problems and diseases. And in the third chapter, it says that they might just touch him. Somehow it became sort of a common knowledge that many people were healed of their plagues by just touching Jesus. That is why he had to get in a little ship to teach them so that he could be out in the water away from the crowds because they were so pushing just to touch him. Special power was given just through touching Jesus or being touched by him. And so as he came to Capernaum from across the Sea of Galilee, immediately the people began to crowd around him, reaching out, touching him. One came through the crowd. His name was Jairus. He was a ruler of the synagogue there in Capernaum. And he came out of desperation because his 12-year-old little daughter was dying. You moms and dads can probably put yourself in the place of that mother and father. Their only child, a little girl, now 12 years old, the sunshine, the light of their life, but she was dying. The mother stayed with the little girl by her side while the dad, in desperation, goes out to seek help. Now, just back in the third chapter, it was in the synagogue in Capernaum on the Sabbath day when Jesus had entered the synagogue. There was a man there with a withered hand, and they watched Jesus to see if he would heal that man. And Jesus, addressing the rulers of the synagogue, said, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath day to do good or to do evil? To heal or to kill?" And they held their peace. And he healed the man with the withered hand, much to the consternation of the rulers of the synagogue, who at that time plotted to put him to death. So just not too far distant past, Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, one of the rulers there in Capernaum, no doubt irate against Jesus because of his healing of the man on the Sabbath day, now is desperate because his own precious little daughter is dying. It's possible that he is one of the rulers who took counsel against Jesus, determining that he must be destroyed. And thus he had a great obstacle that was keeping him from coming to Jesus, and that is prejudice. It is a difficult obstacle to overcome. But things are different now. He knows that his little girl is dying, and he knows that Jesus has the power to heal. You know, it's interesting how God can change our attitudes in such a hurry. Desperation can do amazing things. It can help us even to overcome our prejudices. We read that he fell at the feet of Jesus. He was begging Jesus to just come and touch his little girl. He could care less at this moment what the other rulers of the synagogue may think of him and of his actions. The life was passing out of his little love, his precious little pride and joy. And he expressed his faith in Jesus, saying, "If you will just touch her, I know she will be healed and she will live." We read that Jesus went with him. He didn't chide him for that day in the synagogue when he was so upset. He didn't say, "Oh, well, now that you're in trouble, you come to me. What about all of this anger in the synagogue?" He didn't bring up the past, and I love Jesus for that. When you come to Jesus, he's not going to lay a heavy trip on you of all the past misdeeds that you may have done. Sometimes the fear of a person's past keeps them from coming to Jesus. They know that they should be scolded. They know that they have done wrong. And they're fearful that if they come to Jesus, they might be rebuked by Jesus. But you know, it is interesting in the scriptures, as far as I can remember, there's not one single person who came to Jesus for help who was rebuked by Jesus. He's willing to help. He's wanting to help. This man had a lot to lose by coming to Jesus. He could very possibly lose his position as a ruler in the synagogue. The Pharisees had determined that anyone who declared that Jesus was the Messiah were to be put out of the synagogue. He would lose his friends, his associates, those who believed that Jesus must be stopped. But he had much to gain by coming to Jesus, the life of his precious little daughter. And that to him was more important than his friends or his position. He is desperate. Jesus is his only hope. And thus he is willing to come and to face the loss of his position and of his friends. Sometimes coming to Jesus may cost you friends, associates. But when you get desperate enough, you are willing to leave them in order to find his help. Now, the other person in our story was also desperate to touch Jesus. She had a physical condition that made her an outcast from society. Under the law, Leviticus chapter 15, it spelled out how that if a woman had an issue of blood from her body, she was to be ostracized from the community. She was to be considered unclean. And if you would touch her, you would be unclean. If you touched the bed upon which she had slept, if you touched the chair upon which she had been sitting, you would be considered unclean. She could not go to the synagogue because of her condition. She was not allowed the public worship with the people. We are told that she had spent all of her money on physicians and was not any better. And about the time that the light had come into the home of Jairus in the form of this baby girl, the light had gone out in her life because of this plague that had made her unclean. 12 years can seem a short time when it is filled with joy and happiness, but it can seem like an eternity when your life is filled with tragedy and suffering. Now, she also was convinced of the power of Jesus. She felt that if she could just make it through that crowd that was surrounding Jesus, pushing and shoving him along, if she could just touch the hem of his garment, she would be healed of her plague. Now, both of these were correct in their conclusions. If Jesus would just touch the daughter, she would be healed. If the woman could just touch Jesus, she would be healed. The touch of Jesus is all we need to make the wrongs right. But she had obstacles in her way of touching Jesus, mainly the crowd that was thronging him, pushing, shoving, all trying to get close. But she was desperate, and she was determined, and she pushed her way through that crowd until she got close enough to Jesus, and she reached out and grabbed the hem of his garment. Great diversities in the two that were coming to Jesus. One was the ruler in the synagogue, who came to Jesus because his 12-year-old daughter was dying. The other, a woman who could not go into the synagogue for the past years, 12 years, because of her condition. But they both had one thing in common, and that is they were both very desperate. They had desperate needs. And so we see Jesus. He's making his way through this crowd of people who are pressing in. I can see Jairus trying to clear the crowd, yelling at them, "Stand back, let him through, let him through." As he is seeking to expedite Jesus coming to his house, knowing the serious condition of his little daughter. And suddenly Jesus stopped. And he asked, "Who touched my clothes?" The question amazed the disciples. I imagine it was Peter who said, "What are you talking about, Lord? We're being shoved all over the place. And you say, 'Who touched me?' Are you kidding?" The Greek word translated touch is stronger than just touch. It is a word that should be translated grasp or grabbed hold. It was used by Jesus in the garden when Mary first saw him after his resurrection from the dead. And Jesus said, "Touch me not," literally, "Don't hang on to me," or "Don't clutch on to me." It is a grasping. "Who grabbed hold of my garment?" Now, there were many who were grabbing hold. They knew that if they could just grab hold, they would be healed. Why is it that Jesus stopped now in this emergency when the father is seeking to rush him to the side of his daughter? Because Jesus knew that the little girl had died and that the messengers were on the way right now to inform the father, "It's too late. Your daughter is dead." And so he stopped, knowing that this woman who touched him had received healing of an ailment of 12 years. And there is a relationship. A 12-year-old girl who now died, a woman who for 12 years was in the process of dying with this loss of blood. I believe that Jesus stopped to talk to this woman in order to increase the faith of the father, who will be receiving momentarily news that his daughter is dead. And as the woman told the story of her affliction, as she talked about this condition for 12 years, the word 12 must have struck a chord in the heart of the father. and then to hear the words of Jesus to her daughter, "Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be made whole of your plague." While Jesus was saying those words, the messengers came up and said, "Your daughter's dead. Don't trouble him any further." At this point, Jesus told the father, "Don't be afraid, just believe." And he dismissed the crowd. He said, "All right, go. Just don't follow us any further." And he took Peter, James, and John, and with the father, they continued to the house of Jairus. And as they were getting near, they could hear the people who had gathered already, who were weeping and wailing. The noise was coming down the street. And as they entered into the house, Jesus said to those people that were there, "Why all of this fuss? She's not dead, she's just sleeping." And suddenly their wailing turned into scornful laughter, mocking. And he said, "Get out of here." And he put them all out of the house. And he took the mother and the father and the three disciples that had come with him. And they went into the room where the dead body of this little girl was lying. And Jesus touched her. We read he took her by the hand and he said, "Talitha kumi." That is Arabic. It was probably the language of the house. I believe that Jesus spoke Greek. But he said in Arabic, "Talitha kumi." The literal translation would be, "My little lamb, arise." Taking this little girl's hand, words of tenderness, "My little lamb, arise." And she stood up and she walked, and they were amazed. And Jesus said, "Don't tell anyone, don't let this be known." He did not want premature attempts at making him the Messiah. He said, "Just give her something to eat." The touch of Jesus is a touch of love. He wants to touch you with his love today. The touch of Jesus is a touch of healing. He wants to touch you and heal you today. The touch of Jesus is a touch of life. He wants to touch you and give you eternal life today. The touch of Jesus is a touch of deliverance. He wants to touch you and deliver you today from the power of darkness that has been destroying you. The touch of Jesus is a touch of power, and he wants to give you power this day. Oh, how we need that touch of Jesus in our lives. I encourage you to get in touch with Jesus today. Let him touch your life, or reach out in faith and touch him now. There's healing for you. There's deliverance for you. There's help for you. The moment you touch Jesus. It is interesting, though the crowds were pressing him, many were coming into physical contact with him, but one of the crowd touched him. Maybe you are just in the crowd that's pressing around him. That isn't sufficient. You need to touch him. By faith, just touch him. Jesus, we thank you for the power, the virtue that is imparted by touching. Lord, we ask that you would touch us today, giving us life. May we touch you today and be delivered from the things that plague us. May we learn from this story, Lord, the value of the touch. Touch us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand? I do not know what your particular need may be. I do not know how long you may have been in that condition, but I do know that just a touch from Jesus today is all that any of us need to be made perfectly whole from whatever may be our problem. He can give you life by his touch. You can receive life by touching him. Maybe today you'd like to get in touch with Jesus. Maybe you have a need to touch him, a need that he touch you. I'd encourage you to go back to the prayer room. Counselors will be back there to pray with you and to help you get in touch with Jesus today.